WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228E P. Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The National Hurricane Center says Tropical Storm Idalia has just moved offshore into the Atlantic after leaving a trail of destruction from western Florida to the Carolinas. Correspondent Jared Hill is in Morehead City.
As Tropical Storm Idalia churned up the coast, it lashed North Carolina with pounding rain and maximum sustained winds of 60 miles per hour.
That car's flying!
Intense winds created a brief tornado in Goose Creek, lifting this car straight off the ground. Miraculously, the local police chief said two people sustained only minor injuries.
At least three deaths, including one in Georgia, are now blamed on Idalia. More than 300,000 customers in the southeast have no power. There are new concerns over Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell's well-being after the 81-year-old froze up during a Q&A with reporters in Kentucky. Correspondent Scott McFarland.
Did you hear the question, Senator? Running for re-election in 2026?
An aide briefly intervened as McConnell stared straight ahead, expressionless.
All right, I'm sorry, you all, we're going to need a minute.
Before resuming.
Okay.
His staff said McConnell became momentarily lightheaded and planned to see a doctor before his next event.
It's the second time it's happened this summer. McConnell was hospitalized after a fall earlier this year. More than 70 people have died in a fire at a rundown five-story building in Johannesburg, South Africa. Among them, at least seven children. The BBC's Nick Miles.
This was a building that had been taken over or hijacked by gangs and then rented out to hundreds of different people, most of them homeless migrants. Nibogang Mile is a housing official for the city.
This is a tragedy of monumental proportions, and it's unfortunate that today we are here. And this for us demonstrates a chronic problem of housing.
There's been another deadly air crash involving the Ukrainian military. Correspondent Cammie McCormick.
Six Ukrainian soldiers were killed when two military helicopters collided in the country's east during a combat mission. Both helicopters were destroyed. This comes after a jet crash that killed three Ukrainian fighter pilots during a training exercise.
Here in the U.S., a lot of people are still spending.
Hey, Barbie. Hi, Barbie.
Economists credit hit summer movies coupled with concert tickets for shows like Taylor Swift's. All in all, the Commerce Department says prices rose 3.3% in July, down sharply from the 7% peak a year ago, but above the Fed's inflation target. S&P futures up 8. This is CBS News.
Today, better nutrition and great taste are more important than ever. That's why Eggland's Best gives you and your family more. And that's healthy news for everyone. Only Eggland's Best.
I'm Dr. Storch.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. According to a report from Forward Analytics, the leading cause of death for Wisconsinites between the ages of 25 and 54 is now fentanyl. The report states that in 2020, fentanyl-related deaths outpaced the second leading cause of death, car accidents, by over 2.5 times. Health officials say the COVID-19 pandemic accelerated the opioid epidemic and are calling on governments, schools, health organizations, and law enforcement to help curb the epidemic. Under a new proposal from President Joe Biden's administration and the United States Department of Labor, a large number of Wisconsin workers would be guaranteed overtime pay. The proposal would mandate overtime pay for most salaried employees making under $55,000 per year. The average salary in Wisconsin is roughly $50,000 currently. Experts believe this plan is similar to an Obama administration plan and could get shut down by federal courts. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM radio for every vehicle act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley.
93.5.
The Tap.
93.5.
The Tap.
Right inside of the track when the train goes by. Wind and rain will catch you, you will sigh. Deep in your heart.
After 9 o'clock now, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Hope you're having a good day listening to music from Van Morrison on his birthday, born on this date in 1945. And that guy has given us a lot of great music over, what, the past 60 years or so? Man, hard to believe. Still going strong, too, from what I hear. Welcome back to the show. I got some updated temperatures here for you. 53 degrees right now in Richland Center. And 57 degrees in Eau Claire. And the next story that I want to bring to your attention is something I saw in the USA Today newspaper, updated yesterday. And it says here, easing restrictions on marijuana. HHS calls for classifying weed as less dangerous, according to a new report. And I'll give you some of this article here. Dateline Washington says the Department of Health and Human Services has moved to reclassify marijuana as less harmful than cocaine or heroin. It's hard to believe it was even in the same classification to begin with, but it has been for decades. And that's a possible first step toward wider legalization, according to reports In a letter obtained by Bloomberg News, a Health and Human Services Department official wrote to Drug Enforcement Administration Administrator Ann Milgram that marijuana should be classified as a Schedule 3 substance, which consists of drugs, quote, with a moderate to low potential for physical and psychological dependence, end quote. It's currently a Schedule 1 substance, which are drugs with no accepted medical use and have a high potential of abuse, according to the Drug Enforcement Administration. President Joe Biden has asked Health and Human Services Secretary Javier Becerra and Attorney General Merrick Garland to review how marijuana is classified under federal law last year. Late in the day, the Department of Health and Human Services issued a statement. It said, following the data and science, HHS has expeditiously responded to President Biden's directive to HHS Secretary Becerra and provided its scheduling recommendation for marijuana to the DEA on August 29, 2023. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said on Wednesday in a press briefing that both agencies are engaged in an independent process that is guided by evidence. Biden also had taken steps to ease the restrictions of marijuana last year, including announcing a pardon of all prior offenses for the possession of marijuana and urging governors to do the same in states. As of April, 38 states and the District of Columbia allow for the medical use of marijuana, according to the National Conference of State Legislatures. In 23 states and the District of Columbia, states have passed measures to regulate cannabis for adult non-medical use. And of course, as soon as you read that, you wonder, why haven't we done that in Wisconsin? I'll get back to the story. Actually, that's where the story ends. It ends with that head-scratching question. Well, I inserted the question, but it does make you wonder, what the heck happened? How come we in Wisconsin are lagging behind everybody else around the nation as far as marijuana use? And why can't we have any? And I was going to ask Aaron if he had any ideas why that's even going on. Do you have any ideas why Wisconsin is so far behind the rest of the nation, including many red states, conservative states?
Because the Republican Party here in Wisconsin, I'm not saying all Republicans, I'm not saying people who vote Republican, I'm saying a lot of the people, the leadership in the party here just does not want to play nice. And they've decided anything that has a D next to it or an L for Democratic or liberal, they'll just say no and won't even think about it.
I think you're right. You know, I think that's what it is about. Obviously, Democrats have supported legalization and have supported legalization for a long time. And so if it happens, Democrats may get a little bit of credit for it. And Republicans just can't stand that. That's what you're saying, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's crazy. But hopefully things are about to change. And it sounds like at least on a national level, federally speaking, things could be changing for marijuana. So I think that's a good thing. Obviously, there are a lot of benefits we are finding out now to that substance. A lot of people get a lot of relief from pain and other medical ailments with the use of marijuana, and you don't have to smoke it. There's a lot of other ways to ingest it, and things have really changed in the past 10 years or so. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. We will keep you informed. You're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show. Got 14 minutes after 9 o'clock. The next thing I want to get to here is a story from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about questions about climate change. This here says, climate change question at Milwaukee debate shows concerns among young conservatives. We know there are a lot of young people who are conservatives, and yet they know that there's a climate change thing going on. They know that there is global warming going on, and they're concerned about their future. If they're 20 years old, They'll still be here in 50 or 60 years. And what's the world going to be like then? If what we're seeing now is just the beginning of the effects of global warming and climate change, I'll give you a little bit of the story before we head to the next break. Dateline Madison, Wisconsin says just 20 minutes into the Republican presidential primary debate in Milwaukee last week, moderators asked an unlikely question about an issue that normally ranks low among conservative voters' concerns. On a day that Milwaukee's heat index reached 114 degrees, the effect of a heat dome, a more common phenomenon amid rising ocean temperatures, moderators asked the candidates if they believed humans caused climate change. Though he wished more candidates had answered it, it was an exciting moment for Brian Martinez, the Midwest director for the American Conservation Coalition. The group mobilizes young conservatives on climate change, an issue typically less salient among Republicans. He said it was impactful to see the first and only audience question posed by a young Hispanic conservative. Quote, "It really shows that the party is changing. The conversation is changing," he said. "It was an incredible opportunity that young people front and center on national television had the only audience question which really showed some true colors," end quote. The group offers a window into how the Republican Party may have to compete with Democrats for the support of younger generations, especially in Wisconsin, where college students were crucial in flipping the state Supreme Court to liberal control. Quote, "We're not going away as young people. Young people are going to be the future of this party, the future of this country," ACC's founder Benji Backer said in a CBS interview after the debate. Jake Williams, who is chair of the College Democrats of Wisconsin, agreed the question showed the ability of youth voters to, quote, "rearrange the priorities that both parties are focusing on, to the point now that the GOP can't ignore it or squirrel it away at the end where there's lower viewership," end quote. The question signaled to candidates that climate change is something young conservatives take seriously, said Dominique Brassard, a professor and chair of the Department of Life Sciences Communications at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She said, "The fact that they did ask the question at a Republican debate for the primary, that there was a young conservative on video, that already tells you that this is an issue that has made the public discourse in a way that's not a fringe issue." Climate change was the second topic Fox News moderators Martha McCallum and Brett Baer posed to the candidates after a question on the economy kicked off the debate. The subject came up even before abortion, crime, and former President Donald Trump's indictments. So evidently, young conservatives know that global warming is a real thing, despite the fact that Republican lawmakers aren't willing to admit that. Science? What's that? 18 minutes after 9 o'clock, got to take a quick break. Stick around. It's a short one. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
With another guy, his arm around her like it used to be with me.
Ooh. People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car, because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
With weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, nothing but sunshine, 79. Tonight, mostly clear, lows around 57. And a big warm-up starts tomorrow. We'll see a high near 87 degrees. For Saturday, 91, 99, and hot for your Sunday. Highs near 98 on Labor Day with nothing but sunshine.
Right now, it's 62.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Listener who's saying, man, is Stu Mann playing some old Fleetwood Mac right now? Yes, I am. Fleetwood Mac before Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham joined the band in the early and mid-70s. I should say the early 70s. Bob Welch was in the band, and it was because he left the band that Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham joined Fleetwood Mac. But while Bob Welch was with Fleetwood Mac, he wrote a number of great songs, and that's one of them. And he is celebrating, or I should say, he would have been celebrating a birthday today. Born on this date in 1945, Bob Welch left us with some great music, passed away in 2012, and put out some good solo records too, I should say, let you know. And if you're familiar with Fleetwood Mac and that era, and there are a bunch of great albums. I think that was from the Bare Trees album, but I won't go into too much detail. Maybe we'll get to another Bob Welch song at the end of this segment. And I want to give you some updated temperatures, 62 degrees right now in Amory, 65 degrees up in Hayward, and everybody looking for highs today in the upper 70s to around 80 degrees. And hey, Aaron, should we add a fashion segment to this show? Do a little fashion corner segment. What do you think of that?
I think if you can find a way to do it over the radio, sure.
Right. You got to do it over the radio without showing any of the fashions, and maybe it's better that we're not going to show this, but I'm going to go deep. I'm going to dive deep into the fashion segment and talk about women's fashions. What do I know about women's fashions? Virtually nothing. But I came across this interesting story in the New York Times. They have a regular feature called Ask Vanessa. Evidently, Vanessa Friedman is their fashion critic. And the reason why I think this is important is because a woman from Madison, Wisconsin, sent a question in to the New York Times, Ask Vanessa, and here's her question. And her name is Edie. She said, I find bras totally uncomfortable, hot and itchy for both work and leisure. But looking around, I seem to be in the minority. What are the rules for going braless? Is it okay to show my nips, or is it rude? And here's the answer. You are not the only one having an anti-bra moment. When many dressing mores went out the window during the pandemic lockdowns, the no bra movement, which has resurfaced regularly since the 1960s, once again began picking up steam, led in part by Florence Pugh, in parentheses. Still, when it comes to the question of to bra or not to bra, especially as we return to offices and summer draws to a close, there are really three kinds of issues. The literal one, the physical one, and the socio-cultural one. And I'll get back to explaining those in just a minute. I'm going to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to your local civic media radio station.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Tropical Storm Idalia has headed out into the Atlantic after pounding states from western Florida to North Carolina.
We can rebuild all of this. No one's hurt. Not right here. And it's just really sad, you know, but It is what it is, and we make the best of it, and we will.
At least three deaths and massive destruction are blamed on Idalia. More than 300,000 customers in the southeast have no power. More than 70 people have died in a fire that swept through a building in South Africa that was being rented out by gangs to migrants. The BBC's Pumza Filani from Johannesburg.
Authorities have told us that when they got into the building, they found shack-like partitions inside the building, sometimes even in the basement, making movement very difficult.
Commerce Department says Americans spent more in July, accelerating inflation. Next question, will the feds pause or raise interest rates again? CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Republican lawmakers are proposing an amendment to the state constitution, which would require a two-thirds supermajority in both chambers of the legislature to pass statewide tax increases. The proposal comes the same week that Republican lawmakers proposed a $3 billion tax cut and would make it essentially impossible for Democrats to reverse a potential tax cut, as Republicans currently hold a supermajority in the state Senate and a near supermajority in the state Assembly. An independent study found Wisconsin Republicans' proposed $3 billion tax cut would disproportionately help filers who make more. The Nonpartisan Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy studied the plan and found about 64% of the income tax savings under the proposal would go to Wisconsin filers whose incomes start at $147,000. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers vetoed similar tax cuts earlier this summer, arguing that they didn't truly benefit middle-class residents. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
93.5, The Tap. 93.5, The Tap. 93.5, The Tap.
Wow.
Everything looks so complete when you walk out on the street. Got the wind catching your feet, sends you flying.
Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 9:35, Van Morrison, Thursday morning. Celebrating a birthday today, born on this date in 1945. You know, we were, Aaron, my producer, and I were trying to figure out what songs to play, and there's just so many Van Morrison songs that we can play. Where do you even start? And which ones do we leave out? Because we can't play them all, that's for sure. Hope you're enjoying it. By the way, got some updated temperatures for you. 63 degrees in La Crosse right now and 56 in Richland Center. And just before the break, we were discussing something that I really don't know too much about. But it was prompted by a question from a woman in Madison. We were going over this column in the New York Times called Ask Vanessa. She is a fashion critic, Vanessa Friedman, who answers questions from readers of the New York Times. So this woman from Madison, Wisconsin, writes in, her name is Edie. She says, I find bras totally uncomfortable, hot and itchy for both work and leisure. But looking around, I seem to be in the minority. What are the rules for going braless? Is it okay to show my nips or is it rude? And we got to a little bit of the answer, and where I left off before the break, columnist, Vanessa Friedman, says, when it comes to the question of to bra or not to bra, especially as we return to offices and summer draws to a close, there are three kinds of issues, the literal one, the physical one, and the socio-cultural one. First things first, there are literally no rules, which is to say laws, that govern women's underwear. Instead, laws focus on body parts and what can be shown and not shown. Indiana, for example, prohibits public indecency and then defines it partly as, quote, the showing of the female breast with less than a fully opaque covering of any part of the nipple, end quote. However, a number of states, including New York, Utah, and Oklahoma, and many more cities, including Madison, Wisconsin, allow women to go topless in public, which also means braless. This gets a little more complicated when it comes to workplace dress codes, according to Susan Scafidi, the founder of the Fashion Law Institute. New York City was, she said, the first jurisdiction to insist on full gender neutrality, meaning an employer can, quote, require an individual identifying as female to wear a bra or hide her nipples, but only if the same rule applies to a male employee. It is possible to imagine SNL having a field day with that, but the current situation is better than it was back in 2010, when the investment bank, UBS, issued a 44-page dress code, which, among other things, dictated that its female employees wear flesh-toned lingerie. When it comes to federal law, Ms. Scafidi said, quote, it only requires that dress codes have gender parity with regard to burdens such as cost, end quote. Whether bras constitute an extra financial burden has not yet been addressed. As to the notion that bras are necessary for women's health, Cassan Blake, chair of the Breast Services Department at a Cleveland Clinic hospital in Weston, Florida, told its health blog that there is no particular medical reason to wear a bra and that bras don't prevent sagging, though women with especially large breasts may find a sports bra eases back strain. Which brings me to the elephant or catcall in the room. After all, abandoning the bra isn't just about changing mores when it comes to underwear. It's about gender norms, the reality and historical fear of women's bodies, power struggles, and sexual stereotypes. To be faced with freed breasts, whether or not nipples are visible, is to be forced to confront deep-seated prejudices about all of this. And that is both upsetting and distracting to a lot of people, especially at this particular moment in time when control of women's bodies and their reproductive purpose has become once again a hot-button political issue. It reminds me of the brouhaha that arose a few years ago when the parent of a Notre Dame student complained about girls in leggings, saying they were distracting for the boys. It is not, of course, your job to make other people comfortable or to help them sort through their own feelings about all of the above. Though, if you are actually on the job, it is also true that group dynamics matter, and you may not want to spend a chunk of time with colleagues having to discuss your breasts. At least for now, however, it is still your choice. So that is the answer to the question from a woman in Madison who asked if it's okay to go without a bra. And if you have an opinion on that, feel free to call in. The phone number is 715-388-7155. I'd be interested to hear what some of our female listeners have to say about that topic. Will we get any calls? I don't know, but it's always worth throwing it out there just in case somebody is yelling at their radio right now with an opinion one way or the other. Hey, the next thing I want to get to is a story in the Wisconsin State Journal about child care in our state. What are our lawmakers doing to address this issue, which is a very serious issue for parents? It says here, Republicans say bills would help fix Wisconsin's child care crisis. Democrats quickly panned them. And I think that once we go into the details of this a little bit, you'll see that the response by the Republicans to the child care crisis in Wisconsin is they're not exactly solutions. They're just more Republican talking points. Let me give you a little bit of this article from the Wisconsin State Journal, Madison.com, posted by Alexander Schur just this morning. Less than an hour ago. Starts out by saying, after rejecting Democratic Governor Tony Evers' call earlier this year to spend over $360 million to fund child care centers across Wisconsin, Republicans on yesterday, proposed six bills seeking to address the ongoing child care crisis. Democrats quickly dismissed the legislation as ineffective and even potentially harmful. Among other things, the bills would create a loan program for child care providers, lower the minimum age of child care workers, and increase the number of children workers could supervise. So let me ask you this. How will that help the child care crisis in Wisconsin? Child care providers could get loans from this loan program. That may help them to some degree, but they'll still be on the hook for all that money. Also, if you lower the minimum age of child care workers, will that really help the situation? And if you increase the number of children that workers could supervise, again, you're not addressing the real problem. I'll get back to the story in the Wisconsin State Journal. It says the bills come as 63% of Wisconsin child care centers report staffing shortages and 80% of workers face burnout and exhaustion, according to a National Association for the Education of Young Children survey. Quote, this package of legislation aims to help families afford child care and increase the accessibility of child care in our state through helping providers boost capacity and bringing our regulation in line with our neighboring states. A memo attached to the package states. And obviously, if you just make, You know, if you just allow more kids to be in the child care center, I don't think that's really addressing the problem. Republicans released the package after Evers scheduled a September 20th special session once more, seeking to spend over $360 million on child care, including to maintain a child care assistance program that will run out of federal funding next year. After stripping that proposal from the budget earlier this year, Republicans said they'll reject Evers' request again, since they don't want to spend more taxpayer money on the program. Democrats said the bills don't offer serious solutions. Quote, legislation that could reduce the quality of care for our kids fails to keep child care centers' doors open tomorrow and provides no immediate help to make child care more affordable for working families simply will not cut it, Evers spokesperson Britt Cutaback said. Separately, Senate Minority Leader Melissa Agar, Democrat from Madison, said the child care crisis affects all areas of the state, including areas represented by Republicans. And here's the quote, Republicans are suggesting that we weaken safety regulations and increase class sizes, she said. Their solution will only create more problems. Does that surprise you? Doesn't surprise me. 9:46, got to take a break. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
We were born before the wind, also younger than the sun. Yeah, the bonnie boat was won as we sailed into the mystic. I can now hear the sailors cry, smell the sea and feel the sky. Let your soul and spirit fly into the mystic. And where that foghorn blows, I will be coming home. Yeah, when the foghorn blows, I wanna hear it. I don't have to fear, and I wanna rock your gypsy soul, just like way back in the days of old. And magnificently we will fold into the mystic.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Up US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different. And not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. 93.5 The Tap.
With weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, nothing but sunshine, 79. Tonight, mostly clear, lows around 57. And a big warm-up starts tomorrow. We'll see a high near 87 degrees. For Saturday, 91, 99, and hot for your Sunday. Highs near 98 on Labor Day with nothing but sunshine.
It's 64 at our studios.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
This is a song about your wavelength and my wavelength, baby. You turn me on. Would you get me on your wavelength now? Yeah, 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 yeah. With your wavelength, oh, with your wavelength, with your wavelength.
Welcome back to the Steve Daniels Show, 9:54 on this Thursday morning. Music from Van Morrison, born on this date in 1945. Title track from his 1978 album, Wavelength. Yeah, great album, great song. Van Morrison gave us a lot of great music over the years. And I've got some updated temperatures here. Eau Claire, 63 degrees. La Crosse, 64 degrees. Amory, 65 degrees right now. Welcome back into the show. I got one more topic I want to get to here before we wrap things up for the day. Are you a fan of history? Are you a fan of World War II history? Well, if you are, and you are in La Crosse or near La Crosse, you might want to check this out. This starts today. Here's a story from the Green Bay Press Gazette, and it says a World War II ship that participated in D-Day will be in Wisconsin for one weekend. That's this weekend, starting today in La Crosse. Says a one-of-a-kind World War II-era ship helped turn the tide for the Allies will be moored and open for tours for one weekend only, starting August 31st, that is today, in La Crosse. The chance to board the USS LST 325, the last fully functional LST, which, by the way, stands for Landing Ship, Tank. And this is the last fully functional LST remaining in the country, is bound to appeal to history junkies and maritime buffs. The ship is permanently docked and open for tours in Evansville, Indiana. But once a year, crews take the LST 325 out for a cruise. The ship plies waters such as the Ohio and Mississippi rivers and has docked in places such as Nashville, Tennessee, Vicksburg, Mississippi, and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And so the LST 325 will be moored along the Mississippi River starting today through September 4th along downtown La Crosse's Riverside Park. Visitors will be able to tour the ship between 9 and 5, 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. The cost is $15 for adults, $7 for children ages 6 to 17, and free for children 5 and younger. It will then head to Dubuque, Iowa from September 7th through the 12th, and then Hannibal, Missouri from September 15th through the 18th. The LST's mission was once to deliver tanks, vehicles, supplies, cargo, and troops directly onto enemy beaches. Now it is used to teach people about the roles of LSTs in World War II and in the Korean and Vietnam Wars, highlighting the sailors who manned it in those conflicts. The annual cruises aim to introduce LST 325 to a larger geographic area to raise awareness and donations needed to preserve and maintain the ship. The tours give people an opportunity to explore a vessel that participated in the D-Day invasion. The tours in La Crosse will be self-guided along a designated route that includes 6 flights of stairs and will take, on average, about 45 minutes. The ship is outfitted to match what it looked like during its World War II service. Visitors will be able to explore areas such as the main deck, the troop berthing area, the tank deck, the mess, the galley, the wheelhouse, the officers' areas, and the captain's cabin. Sounds like something fun to do this weekend. Check it out. It's going to be in La Crosse. We're out of time. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you have a great day. Do something nice for somebody. I'll be back tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.